on WSLR, LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota, and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Johannes Werner with your WSLR News headlines for Wednesday, December 17th. A year ago, the Bradenton City Council voted to literally sell City Hall in 2026 to a developer who wants to build a luxury condo high-rise in its place. But time is running out in the search for a new City Hall location outside downtown, and now the city is inching towards a deal with the same developer to build a new City Hall on the same land in downtown just half a block away. That deal would be possible because L&L Development Group scaled down its original plans. The city approved the sale of the land for $14.1 million. It's not clear how much less the city would get for the land and how much construction of a new building will cost. If the council approves the plan, construction of a new 45,000-square-foot city hall could be completed by 2027. That's bigger than the current 30,000 square feet, even though it would only be for the city council and city staff. The Bradenton Police Department already secured a deal to move its headquarters out of City Hall to a separate location that will cost $35 million to build. Manatee County accepted a $100,000 contribution from the City of Bradenton to drop oyster reef modules where the Manatee River and Braden River meet. The 23 oyster reefs will create habitat for sport fish, improve water quality, improve shoreline resiliency, and help protect an Audubon rookery. A Muslim civil rights group sued the state of Florida after Governor Ron DeSantis designated it as a foreign terrorist organization. The Council on American Islamic Relations, also known as CARE, filed suit in the Northern District of Florida, arguing the governor's executive order is unconstitutional. It is usually the federal government that makes terrorism designations. The group also argues that by designating advice and assistance as material support for terrorism, the measure restricts free speech. CARE has expressed support for Palestinian rights. Meanwhile, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota called for Florida Representative Randy Fine to be expelled from the U.S. House of Representatives. Fine has called for a Muslim travel ban, radical deportations of all mainstream Muslim immigrants, and citizenship revocations. This has been Johannes Werner with your WSLR News headlines for Wednesday, December 17th.
Good morning. Welcome to the Peace and Justice Report. My name is Bob Connors, and you're listening to your own community radio station, WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton. And I'd like to mention that the opinions you hear today are strictly those of the host and the guest and do not necessarily reflect those of the management team, the board of directors, or any of the volunteers associated with the radio station. So with that being said, I just want to read a brief bio of my guest who's on the line. And his name is Bruce Gagnon. If you listen to the Peace and Justice Report over the years, you probably recognize Bruce's name. I've had him on many times over the last 10 or 11 years. He is the coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. He was a co-founder of the Global Network when it was created in 1992. And the website, you might want to take a look at the website this morning because we're going to reference his blog, Organizing Notes. But the website is space, S-P-A-C-E, the number 4, peace.org, spaceforpeace.org. And when you go on the website, go over and to the right-hand side and click on Organizing Notes. And that's why I like having Bruce on, because he's a prolific poster. So, as a matter of fact, he posted a new article today that we're going to talk about first. So, Bruce, welcome to the Peace and Justice Report. All of a sudden, I don't hear you, Bruce. I don't know what happened there. Let's see. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay. Do you hear me now?
No.
How about now? Do you hear me now?
Yeah. Let me hold on 1 minute and
Zwamandla ubuthula umhlabu phakamisa thula
Yes, so welcome back to the Peace and Justice Report. We do seem to have taken care of that technical problem. Bruce, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We thought we had taken care of the technical problem, but apparently that's not the case.
Hello.
Your rings and all. Even Jesus wanted just a little more time when he was walking Spanish down the hall.
Should we? Yep. Welcome back to the Peace and Justice Report. We should be set.
You can hear Bruce there?
Go ahead, Bruce.
All right. Can you hear me now there, Bob?
Yes, I can hear you now. Well, we'll just begin with Venezuela. It was a post that you put up this morning, so why don't you just go right into it?
Yeah, it was actually a statement from the Venezuelan government after Trump announced that they were now, the U.S. was now going to blockade all oil ships, tankers leaving Venezuela to go out. They provide a lot of oil to China and other countries, particularly China, though. And what the United States is doing, it's putting itself in a position to antagonize China, not only Venezuela, of course, but to antagonize China, which is not a very smart thing. But it makes me wonder if this is part of the U.S. strategy to go to war with China over this oil blockade from Venezuela. The American people, I know, I've seen polls say that more than 70% of the American people are opposed to what the United States is doing in Venezuela and to Venezuela. It's really a big lie, this whole thing about these boats full of drugs. These boats couldn't make it to the Key West with the kind of motors they have and the kind of oil, gasoline that they could carry with them. And everyone knows it. And the official records of the United States drug agencies have long reported that Venezuela is not providing drugs to the United States. So the whole thing is a fabrication by the Trump administration in order to steal Venezuela's oil. Venezuela has the largest supply of oil of any country on the planet Earth. And this is really what's driving this whole thing. The U.S. wants to steal Venezuela's oil, another war for oil, just like Iraq. You remember we heard the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq turned out to be a lie. And just this, I think it was yesterday, Trump announced that fentanyl that he says is coming from Venezuela, which is not, he says fentanyl is a weapon of mass destruction. So they're repeating the same words that they used in the failed Iraq story now against Venezuela. If this isn't clear as a bell to everybody, then we're in trouble because the American people are getting taken for another ride. And this is not only going to be if Trump invades Venezuela, which ultimately he would have to do if he really wants to take their oil, it's going to be another Vietnam. It's a big country, mountainous country. He's, you know, they say that Maduro is a dictator. But you know what? Maduro has handed out guns to the people of the country. Now, if you're a dictator, you're not going to hand out guns to the people of the country so they can protect themselves. This, everything is a lie about this thing. It's ridiculous. So it'll be another Vietnam. And at the same time, we're going to antagonize China. And there was two Russian ships that were coming into Venezuela that the U.S. blocked. And so we're antagonizing Russia, too. I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, so many people that I've listened to are echoing the same thoughts that you just came out with. You know, the people that the Glenn Greenwald and the Max Blumenthal's and Aaron Maté and Judge Napolitano. You know, he has some great guests on. I did see you mention that one great guest after another. It's the same thing. It's the same story from everybody and. I don't understand how, in God's name, Congress doesn't stand up and just, you know, put an end to such ridiculousness.
Well, our country is addicted to war. We're like an alcoholic sitting at the bar. We always got to have another drink. And in our case, we always got to have another war. We don't have much manufacturing in this country other than military. We don't really have jobs in this country anymore. We're losing jobs. We're bleeding them like crazy, other than military, war spending. And so this is what, when you're an alcoholic, you got to have another drink. And so when you're addicted to war, you got to have another war. You got to have another military operation. You got to, spend more money on all these wars that we do. You know, it's like in Ukraine. Trump is saying he wants out of Ukraine, but the Congress in this recent budget that just passed another $1 trillion for the Pentagon for next year, several hundred million dollars going to Ukraine for weapons. Now, I thought we were getting out of Ukraine, right? I thought we're not going to have anything to do with Ukraine anymore. Trump says he wants to end the war in Ukraine, but we're sending, I think it's $300 million so they can buy more of our weapons. We give them the money, they buy our weapons, and it keeps the military production cycle going. That's what we're all about. Endless war. And it's killing our country.
It certainly hasn't done much good for Ukraine and Russia. I mean, Ukraine has been decimated. I mean, the young population is disappearing fast. So,
Ukrainian soldiers are deserting in a massive, massive number. They just refuse orders. They desert. They're surrendering in big numbers. They don't want to fight anymore. But again, it's the Europeans. They're making money off this war because they've been supplying weapons to Ukraine. And the United States, same thing, making money off the war because we're supplying weapons.
Well, you did call it. Yeah, I mean, I can remember reading some of your posts on your blog back four or five years ago, talking about NATO and Russia being surrounded, and that eventually it was going to come to a head, and sure enough, it did, with Russia invading Ukraine and the mainstream media saying, well, why did they do that? they weren't aware, or they don't want to be made aware of why Russia would have done that and why this has been going on for 3 years.
Well, it's been going on since 2014 when the Biden administration orchestrated the coup d'etat in Ukraine, and they put in a government backed by Nazis. Nazis who are the predominant population in Western Ukraine by the border with Poland. When Hitler invaded the Soviet Union during World War II, the Soviets lost almost 30 million people to Hitler's invasion. When they swept through Western Ukraine, a guy by the name of Stefan Bandera, a Nazi, he was Ukrainian. He brought his followers to join with Hitler's army, the Nazi army, and they killed tens of thousands of Jews, Poles, and Russians, ethnic citizens. And ever since then, the Nazis have been strong in Western Ukraine. So after the coup, the U.S. put these Nazis in charge of all the military and police departments of the new Ukraine. They declared the speaking of Russian illegal in Ukraine. Most of the country speaks Russian. And then they started invading the Russian ethnic region, the Donbass region, right along the Russian border. That was back in 2014. And so between 2014 and 2022, when Russia finally went in, the reason why Russia went in was because during that interim period, all those years, the Nazis were killing tens of thousands and wounding tens of thousands of Russian ethnics. And Putin tried every diplomatic thing he could, the Minsk I and Minsk II agreements that froze the war. But Ukraine, under the direction of the United Kingdom and the United States, kept it going. And so right after the 2022 Russian what they called a special military operation when they went in, Ukrainians and Russians made a deal. They both signed it to end the war. But then Boris Johnson, who was then Prime Minister of England, came and told Zelensky, you can't stop fighting this war. You have to keep going. Why? Because the Europeans, the U.S., want to break Russia up into pieces. It's the largest, it has the largest border with the Arctic region. And because of climate change, the melting of the Arctic ice, these Western resource extraction corporations want to go in and drill, baby drill, up in the Arctic. But Russia's got the biggest border, so they want to break Russia up into smaller countries. That's what this war is all about. Just like Venezuela is about oil. Just like Iraq was about oil. The war on Russia is about oil up in the Arctic region, oil and natural gas underneath the Arctic ice. It's always the same thing. It's always about resources.
Well, let's leave Ukraine. And I know I had mentioned right when we began talking this morning before we got on the air that you wanted to talk a little bit about Palestine and what's going on there at this point in time.
Well, you know, I'm in the last few days, I'm watching these videos coming from Palestine, from Gaza, and there's huge, huge wind, and there's huge rain, and the tents they're living in after all their homes were bombed to pieces by Israel. They're living in these tents, but the tents are being swept away by this rain. And the few tents that are still standing, people, literally children, up to their neck in water. That big of a flood. And then there's, Israel is not allowing the food in that they said they would under this so-called ceasefire that Trump supposedly organized. Israel is still killing every single day. They're killing Palestinians in Gaza, despite this so-called ceasefire that Trump supposedly did. Sometimes I think that this Venezuela thing is a distraction so they can finish off the people in Gaza, because that's their goal, is to completely eliminate all the people in Gaza, total genocide. And I tell you, these children, they're not going to come out of this flood in good shape, because they're going to have so many pneumonias, and there's no medical anymore because Israel's bombed all the hospitals. I mean, it's a disaster. And again, the United States keeps sending money and weapons to Israel. Why? Why? Why is that happening?
Well, I'm going to ask you that. Why? Why is it happening?
Because AIPAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee, owns the United States Congress. Netanyahu has bragged. I've seen videos of Netanyahu in his living room with a few friends bragging about how he controls the Congress of the United States. Simple as that. We don't control our own government. Most of the representatives and senators in the Congress are controlled by the Israeli political machine, funded by the big Israeli donors. So, and now the West Bank, and now they're going after the West Bank. They're beginning to split the West Bank in half. This is the Palestinian area that was supposed to be part of this two-state solution, and Israel is now daily killing people in the West Bank, arresting them, throwing them in their dungeons. They have literally thousands and thousands and thousands of Palestinians and many children in their jails where they treat them like dogs. I mean, how can the American people just stand what is going on there to the Palestinian people? It's so wrong. It is so absolutely immoral.
And I know one other thing that you said you definitely wanted to talk about this morning was the Golden Dome. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and the significance of that.
Well, Trump has announced that he wants to build a shield, an impenetrable shield over the United States and Canada. And I've just learned, they're now saying U.S. territory, which means Hawaii, Guam, you know, other parts of islands out in the Pacific that this that are, you know, linked to the United States as protectorates or whatever you call them. So imagine this so-called shield would almost be global, right? England wants to be part of it, you know. And so Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, L3 Harris, SpaceX, Palantir, Anduril, these are the corporations that are going to make the money on it. And how much is it going to cost? Well, the United States, since the days of Ronald Reagan, when Ronald Reagan announced Strategic Defense Initiative, SDI, Star Wars, that he wanted to build this shield, the United States has spent $550 billion to do that, and it never worked. And now that Trump wants this golden dome that is going to cost, according to the American Physical Society, APS, they said in a study that this will cost anywhere between $500 billion to $20 trillion over the next 20 years. Now, where is that money going to come from? That means your children and grandchildren are going to be paying this debt, and they're not going to have any health care. They're not going to have any education. The environment is going to collapse. I mean, we're in big trouble in this country. We have $38 trillion of debt today. And so you're going to add another another $20 trillion of debt to build this so-called golden dome that doesn't work. You remember the recent war between Israel and Iran? U.S. was involved. U.S. was bombing Iran at the same time. Well, Israel has this Iron Dome, they call it. Same thing, this so-called shield over Israel that the United States has helped pay for, by the way. And Iranian missiles and drones were penetrating it regularly. We saw it all on video. And so if it doesn't work just over that small country of Israel, how in the hell are they going to do this over the United States, Canada, all the way out to Hawaii and Guam and England too? It's unbelievable. So the American Physical Society says to knock out one incoming missile would require, 10, to knock out 10 incoming intercontinental ballistic missiles fired at the United States, it would take 30,000 interceptors in space, 30,000 interceptors. And then it's not even 100% likely to work because, for example, Russia and China now have these hypersonic missiles that can fly at speeds and maneuver and kind of fly all over the place. And that they could evade this so-called golden dome. So the whole thing is a boondoggle. It's corporate welfare for who? Again, the war machine that President Eisenhower warned us against when he left office. He said, beware of the power of the military-industrial complex. In the end, he said, it's a theft from those who hunger and those who are in need. But this is what along with AIPAC, these are the people that run this country today, the military-industrial complex. And again, they got to have one war after the other. They got to have another weapon system. And the bigger, the better, the more expensive. Doesn't matter if it doesn't work. That's all right. Just throw the money out there. It's the American taxpayers' money. And these people, these big corporate monsters, don't give a damn about the people and what they need. You know, AI is going to, I've seen Bill Gates said we're not going to have teachers and doctors in 10 years because AI is going to do it all. I mean, people are losing jobs every day because of AI and robotics and all that stuff. So the American people need to wake up and understand that we are soon the people that are going to be genocided. Literally, they're going to get rid of our health care, and that means we're going to die younger. They're cutting food stamps for poor people. That means they're going to die younger. It's another form of genocide, and this is what they've got in store for us. We're basically superfluous populations now. They don't need us anymore because of all this technology, and they're going to get rid of us one way or the other, the fast way or the slow way.
You're listening to the Peace and Justice Report right here on your own community radio station, WSLR LP 96.5 LPFM in Bradenton, WBPV 100.1 LPFM. We're speaking with Bruce Gagnon, the coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. And talking about space, I can remember when Space Force came into being several years ago, I thought it was a joke, but obviously it's not. I mean, I'm sure you have plenty to say about Space Force and what's going on there.
Well, in a 1997 Pentagon document called Vision for 2020, the U.S. Space Command, that was the first version of the Space Force, the Space Command and now Space Force. The Space Command said in 1997 that the U.S. will control space, dominate space, and deny other countries access to space. Why? Because whoever controls space can see the Earth, can intercept all phone, fax, email communications, can target every place on the planet below. That's the agenda of the U.S. today. We're going to be the master of space. At the Space Command headquarters at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, on their door, above their doorway, is master of space. This is the arrogance of the United States.
Well, if it isn't arrogance when it comes to this controlling space, it's arrogance when it comes to telling the people anything just to get away with whatever they want to do, as far as sending unlimited funds to Israel and Ukraine, and threatening a war with Venezuela. It's and of course, so many people said they voted for Trump because he said he was going to be the peace president. And of course, they didn't have much choice, Trump or Kamala Harris. So they said, well, Kamala Harris has already been in office more or less with Biden, and there's no peace there, and let's vote for Trump. So that's more or less what happened, isn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, that's what happened. Let me just invite people to go to my blog, space, the number four, peace, dot, blog, spot, S-P-O-T, B-L-O-G, S-P-O-T, dot com. Space, four, peace, dot, blogspot, dot com. It's called Organizing Notes. And it, as you say, I post every day. I'm like the Cal Ripken of blogging, you know. I don't miss a day. And I'm keeping people up on all these issues and in my work as coordinator of the Global Network.
Well, you had a post at 7 a.m. this morning that I think people might find interesting. It was never about feeding the world. It was about controlling the seeds. Did you have enough time to digest that one?
Yeah. You know, I have... Fortunately, I wasn't up at that time. I can schedule posts at various times. So, most people that look at my blog are from all over the world. Out of 20 every day, there's a counter on the blog. It tells me what countries people are coming in from. Out of 20 top countries, only four are like the United States and a European country. All the rest are from Global South. So people all over the world read my blog, and they're interested in hearing about an American's take on what's happening with our country and what we're trying to do to the world. So people all over the world are reading it every single day. So I post things at different times so that it matches up with where people live.
You want to comment on that last post? It's never about feeding the world. It's about controlling the seas.
Well, you know, the big, you know, it's always the big corporations, the big industrial agribusiness corporations. They have, like Monsanto, they've created seeds now. Imagine you're a farmer in India and you've been using the same generations of seeds for years. You make a harvest and you save your seeds and then you use them over and over again. It doesn't cost you anything. Well, now Monsanto and other, these big corporations are going into these countries, including the United States, and telling farmers, oh, stop doing that. Use these GMO seeds, genetically modified seeds, use them. But the thing is, you can't use the, you can't take the seed at the end of the harvest and use it again next year. You got to go back and buy it again. So they got you on a program where you're constantly indebted to them, right? And so farmers in India are committing suicide because they can't, continue the operation anymore because they can't afford to pay these Monsanto guys. And then you got to use their pesticides that only work on these GMO seeds. So the whole thing is a game. Next time you go in the grocery store, turn the product over that you're buying and look at the very small print on the bottom and see how many things you're buying today are bioengineered, genetically modified foods. And it's not good for your health either. That's another one of these ideas that it's another way of killing people over a period of time because this stuff is not real. It's not real food. It's biologically engineered. God knows what's in it, right? Just like that vaccine that we took and we found out that all these people are dying all over the world from that COVID vaccine that these corporations engineered, right? And so it's the same thing with our food now. They're trying to kill us. Let's face it. They're trying to kill us because they don't need us anymore. They want to get it down to what they call the golden billion, the World Economic Forum, all these big, giant corporate people. They want to get the world population down to 1 billion people with them in charge. And how are you going to get rid of everybody? Endless wars, genocidal actions like in Palestine, and changing the drugs and the food and everything else so that we all die. The slow death, the quiet death that nobody can really, you know, pin on anybody. That's what's going on in the world today.
And, well, we, and I, so I, this video, I'm a, you know, if you look at it, you know, I can see why somebody might people could agree with you, and but it's difficult to fathom. I used to think when we went into Iraq that it couldn't have been about the oil. It couldn't have been, and they had to be telling us the truth. But now, so many years later, and what's been going on with this and that and every other thing, it's all quite believable now. But yeah, unfortunately, Bruce, we're out of time, and I really appreciate you being on today.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. And always good to talk to you.
Okay. Well, keep warm up there in Maine.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty cold now.
Okay. We'll see you later, Bruce. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Bruce Gagnon. I'm always happy to have Bruce on and really to get a good sense of what's going on in as far as so many different subjects are concerned. I would highly recommend going on to the organizing blogs on the website. You can access it just by going to the website space4peace.org. And I'd like to mention that support for WSLR comes from listeners like you and from Manatee Spirit Holistic Sound Studio, offering sound-based wellness experiences in Bradenton. More information is available at 941-201-0069 or info@manateespirit.com. So just going to put a little bit of music on for the next minute or so, and I'll be right back with you.
Africa. Pindu mekumbola nao. Pindu mekumbola. Dindul me kumbola.
Welcome back to the Peace and Justice Report. And I had the opportunity to speak with one of my favorite guests from a long time back. I originally met Keith McHenry in 2011. He is the one of the founders of Food Not Bombs, and he was in Sarasota giving a presentation at New College. And since then, I've had him on the air five or six times since 2011. He's currently living out in Santa Cruz and feeding the hungry out in Santa Cruz. And he has Food Not Bombs came into being back in 1980 range. So they've been around now for 45 years. But I just like to read a paragraph from the website. The website is foodnotbombs.net. And when a billion people go hungry each day, how can we stand another dollar? How can we spend another dollar on war? Food Not Bombs is an all-volunteer movement that recovers food that would otherwise be discarded and shares free vegan and vegetarian meals with the hungry in over 1,000 cities in 65 countries in protest to war, poverty, and destruction of the environment. Food Not Bombs is not a charity, but dedicated to taking nonviolent direct action. The movement has no headquarters or positions of leadership, and they use the process of consensus to make decisions. And they also provide food and supplies to survivors of natural disasters and people participating in occupations, strikes, marches, and other protests. And I'm going to play a little bit of an interview that I had with Keith last night, and relating to some of the activities that are currently happening around Food Not Bombs, and So let me play this right now.
With the hungry, with the, we don't, you know, governments really have no say on that. And that was in 92, and then in 95, we, you know, we confirmed that 1995 at the Food Not Bombs World Gathering in San Francisco, that it's just your right to hand out free food. It's an unregulated gift of compassion. And the other thing, though, a major thing, though, at the, around the same time that that was happening, Melbourne, Florida, Food Not Bombs was, had been in this campaign to try to make a law that would limit Food Not Bombs. And fortunately, the Melbourne chapter, they, like, pushed back with really powerful public comments, which became shared worldwide, you know, even though it was only, like, 3 minutes that you're allowed to speak. But it just expressed the heart of the, you know, the way, the feeling of way Food Not Bombs volunteers are worldwide. In fact, one day I get a post from the Melbourne, about Melbourne, Florida, because we do have a Melbourne, Australia chapter, from Tasmania. You know, so it's like this worldwide thing. But then the other thing is that there, you, we have the issue of the Trump administration having this whole campaign against what they're calling anti-fa, anti-capitalist, and anarchists. And so in on July 4th of this year, a bunch of young people went and launched fireworks and sprayed graffiti on vehicles at a ICE detention center in Texas, just a Prairie Land Detention Center outside of Fort Worth. And somebody came that they did not know, apparently, with a gun. In fact, two people may have come with guns, but they were hiding in the woods, shot at one of the police officers who came out of the woods and hit him in the neck. And these kids, 17 of them, got arrested for terrorism. And as it turns out, they became the subject of the Trump administration's roundtable on domestic, on the anti-fa roundtable is what they called it. And there ended up being a bunch and the Trump administration signed like a executive order and a national and a presidential finding that targeted these kids, and two of them ended up getting charged under this new kind of terrorism law that Trump signed, which really isn't a law, but it's like a presidential finding. And that's what, those were the first two people to be charged under his finding. And then the next thing that was happening around that same time is at the round table, a person named Jonathan Cho, who is a Turning Point USA's newsroom frontline, you know, he pretends like he's a journalist, he claimed that the homeless industrial complex was funding anarchists and anti-fa to be involved in these Stop the Sweeps protests. And the funny thing about that is in Santa Cruz, we caught an email exchange between the director of the homeless industrial complex, Housing Matters, and the city praising the homeless sweeps around the shelter. And so we've been doing Stop the Sweeps protests against the shelter and the city now for several years. But Turning Point USA, which is the organization of which Charlie Kirk, the person who was recently killed, is a part of, you know, that's his, it was, that was his organization. And then, so then, you know.
Let me ask one thing, Keith. Yeah. The homeless industrial complex. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what the Turning Point calls it. We actually kind of call it that. And it's basically in our city, and this is everywhere really. You have a shelter system that's connected to the government and to foundations. And it's kind of, it's often used as more like social control of homeless. Their view is management of homeless, of homeless people, that they need to be managed, really. That's kind of their overarching project. So, for instance, in our city, Housing Matters, one of the things that they do every year is they have a march about four blocks long, that cost, they spend $65,000 every year on this march to end homelessness. And basically the people that are in it are the staff of all the different nonprofits that get state and city and county money to manage the homeless problem. So right now it's an interesting fight because you have the Trump administration who is dismantling what they call Housing First. And Housing First is the slogan that was originally what homeless advocates like myself were using. And then the Democratic Party kind of hijacked that term, and they started directing their money into these shelters and into these programs. And then, and allegedly, what was supposed to happen, which doesn't really happen, is that a bunch of money will come in, you'll be in a shelter, and then they will build an affordable housing somewhere, and then you'll be transitioned from the shelter into this affordable housing. That's the model that they're discussing. You know, that's the theory of Housing First. The sad fact of the matter is that doesn't really happen very often. It happens a little bit. But what we've noticed, and the Republicans have been pushing this idea, but also a lot of leftists like myself have been saying the same thing, and that is that there's $24 billion was spent from 2019 to 2024 on homelessness in California. Yet you talk to any homeless people, always ask, well, wow, we just saw the news article that, you know, $5 million was just donated to Santa Cruz. Where's that money going? We never see any money. Right? And what really happens too is that it goes to contractors, to on building projects. It goes to the management of these services and so on. And in fact, it was discovered that the main campaign contributor to the mayor of San Diego ended up getting the contract to build affordable housing. He built the affordable housing, but by the time it was built, it was no longer considered affordable housing. It didn't, as they say, pencil in as profitable. So he made a lot of money, this developer, and the money was found to be stashed in Cayman Islands. So the Republicans are using these stories of grift from the Democratic Party in California to bolster their idea that there should be these concentration camps to put the homeless in. So that is their strategy. And the first such camp of any magnitude is outside of Salt Lake City. And it's not completed yet, but it's proposed to be a 1,300-bed facility. But it's the idea of it is almost exact in that you are put in these places and you don't really have the opportunity to leave until you're certified to be either no longer mentally ill or addicted to whatever substance it is that they put you in for. And that actually, oddly enough, even though Trump is pushing that idea, it's actually exactly the same thing that Newsom did in what they call here Proposition 1. So Proposition 1 raised money, the voters voted to issue bonds to build concentration camps in California where people will be involuntarily placed into them, and they will the state will be their conservator, and they will be forced to undergo behavioral modification and supposedly psych meds and that kind of thing. And so, strangely, both parties are running the same exact thing, but pretending like they're fighting each other and that their policies are somehow different. So that's one level of state repression. Then the other interesting thing is how the, like Fox TV particularly, and specifically Jesse Waters, he had a fake anti-FA person that he interviewed named Eric, who had to have a bandana on his face so he wouldn't be recognized because he's worried about being killed. And he gets asked by Jesse Waters why, you know, how he got started. And he gets started because he went to ARA, which is Anti-Racist Action Events, Cop Watch, and Food Not Bombs and Punk Shows. And then they talked about why, you know, what did they do when he joined Antifa, which they call Antifa. They read the Anarchist Cookbook, and they go and they want to break out windows and stuff like the Nikes and Starbucks in Seattle in '99 at the World Trade Organization protest. And that was pretty clearly a FBI infiltrated and potentially initiated black bloc, as we were calling ourselves in those days. For the purpose of disrupting what was a very successful blockade of the World Trade Organization summit in Seattle. So that is kind of the beginnings of that article. And then the other thing that's happened is you have, like, on September 25th, Trump's issued the National Security Presidential Memorandum number 7, countering domestic terrorism and organized political violence. And this presidential memorandum essentially lists people that are anti-capitalist, anti-family, anti-communist, and so on. But the focus is really on groups like Food Not Bombs and other mutual aid groups, anarchist groups that are organized in an anarchist philosophy of non-hierarchical way of organizing and so on. So there seems to be this huge, huge push to conflate people doing mutual aid and being opposed to the genocide, people protesting ICE, and all that, as being domestic terrorists. And Food Not Bombs actually was officially declared one of America's most hardcore terrorist groups in August of 1988, when the Joint Terrorism Task Force observed the arrest of 24 people on August 25th of that year. And then the National Guard had a workshop that Thanksgiving on domestic terrorism, which we were the subject. So we've been in the issue of domestic terrorism now for a long time.
I think the average person would ask, how could that possibly be when your organization feeds the hungry? How does it come to be a terrorist organization?
So the official reason of the U.S. State Department in a lecture that I happened to see on C-SPAN twice in April of 2009 is that lecture compared the people that serve the vegan meals in the parks to Al-Qaeda, who's more dangerous. And the State Department's position ended up being that the people didn't really want to join Al-Qaeda and strap a bomb on themselves and blow themselves up. That was a very unpopular movement to join. But the Food Not Bombs people, well, he never called those Food Not Bombs, but the people sharing the vegan meals in the park were indigenous to their community. They're well-loved by the people in their cities, and that they were likely to be influencing the American public to encourage the government to divert money from military spending to healthcare, education, and other social services. And so, and as a result, if this group, Food Not Bombs, was successful, or as they call it, the people serving vegan meals in the park, was successful, there wouldn't be enough money in the Defense Department to defeat organizations like Al-Qaeda. So that's the real reason why we were originally declared one of America's most hardcore terrorist groups in '88.
Well, pretty incredible, to say the least. Food Not Bombs, a terrorist organization. But you can find some of Keith's posts on Substack. Just put in his name, Keith McHenry, McHenry. Keith McHenry, Food Not Bombs. And he's been placing posts in a Substack site for the last several months. One of his most recent posts was the current state of state repression. And he does mention in this post how Food Not Bombs did win a court case, I think in Fort Lauderdale, way back. I don't know how many years ago it was, but the city council of Fort Lauderdale was ordered to pay $750,000 to the attorneys that represented Food Not Bombs after the federal courts ruled it was our First Amendment right to share meals without a permit. So that's been a constant struggle in different cities around the country when free food is being given to the homeless. They want to stop it and require a permit, but Food Not Bombs says no permits are required. And they reference that court case. So that's it from the Peace and Justice Report.